motives. Why do we do what we do? We come to this story in the life of David. It's a sad one. In chapter 24 of the second book of Samuel, we read, "And again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he incited David against them, saying, 'Go number Israel and Judah.'" And so there had been a second outbreak of the divine wrath. There had been a three-year famine that was talked about in the 21st chapter. This inciting of David to conduct a census was a punishment in Israel from the Lord for some unspecified sins. Perhaps sins of pride and ambition had led him to increase the size of his army unnecessarily and place heavy burdens of support on the people. And whatever the sin, it's clear God is dissatisfied with David's motives, his goals, his actions, and that brought judgment. And so a census was usually for military purposes, which seems to be the case here. Numbering the potential army of Israel had been done in the past. We see that in Numbers 1 and 2, and Numbers 26, 1 through 4. However, this census of Israel's potential army did not have the sanction of the Lord and proceeded from wrong motives. David either wanted to glory in the size of his fighting force or take more territory than what the Lord had granted him. So he shifted his trust from God to military power, and you see this as a constant theme in the Psalms. We read in verses 2 and 3 of chapter 24 here, "So the king said to Joab, the commander of the army, who was with him, 'Go through all the tribes of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, and number the people, that I may know the number of the people.' But Joab said to the king, 'May the Lord your God add to the people 100 times as many as they are, while the eyes of my lord the king still see it. But why does my lord the king delight in this thing?'" Although Joab protested the plan, he was overruled by David with no reason for the census being stated by David. There's a story told of a man who went to a shoe store to purchase a new pair of shoes, and he was fitted with a very suitable pair and went away happy. And some weeks later, though, he brought the shoes back, and it was asked, "Don't they fit?" And that's what the store owner asked him. "Oh, they fit fine." "Well, weren't they of good quality?" "Yes, they're fine quality." "Then why are you returning them?" the retailer wanted to know. "Because they don't have any squeak." The man said, "Why would you want a pair of shoes that squeak?" "So when I go to church," said the man, "people will look up and notice." Wow. Unfortunately, that same attitude took hold of David, and in and of itself, there was nothing wrong with numbering the people. It was a convenient way to know who was available for war or what taxes to levy. But those were not David's motives. David undertook that task to bring glory to himself, and underneath an innocent-looking decision was that snake of pride. And many times we as Christians can do the right thing, but with the wrong motive. We might give a large gift or serve on a committee or sing in the choir, but we do it so we'll get noticed. And that's a desire to glorify ourselves more than to give godly service. So sometimes we need to ask God to reveal the true reasons of why we do what we do. It takes courage and discipline to do that, but it's worth getting to the bottom of our motives. We cannot be guilty of doing the right things for the wrong reasons. And if our motive is wrong, then our service can never be right. So what is the truth that Jesus would be teaching in these passages? Matthew 6:3, "But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing." Or Matthew 6:5, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." So what does that verse mean? What do those verses mean? Or what about this? "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Matthew 15:8. So if you were going to write a definition of a hypocrite, what would it be? I'd say that the key to sincerity and integrity is practice what I preach. My walk must match my talk. My performance must match my propaganda. We need to ask God to give us a heart that pleases Him regardless of what others think. So how are you doing today? Let's seek God.